and welcome to the Marketing Showcase podcast brought to you by Marketing Showcase and Sound Media. Today, the final event of 2025. In fact, the final podcasts today of this season of the Marketing Showcase podcast, coming to you from Old Trafford today, home of Manchester United, a place that I have never seen my football team win, although there are many stadiums where this is also true. I'm James. We have a guest joining us for a chat. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. I'm Jordan, creative director at Studio Antigravity, a brand and design agency based in Manchester.
Have you ever seen your football team win at Old Trafford?
I don't actually support football.
Oh, well.
So I'm very neutral. I get the Manchester question all the time when I go abroad, and I'm like, I'm right in the middle. I could go either way.
Fair enough. So that's the rest of my prep's gone then. I was going to talk about football. So I guess we'll have to talk about marketing instead. First of all, tell us a little bit about Antigravity.
Yeah, so Antigravity is a brand design studio, like I say, based in Manchester. Our kind of goal and ethos is about helping our clients rise above ordinary and stand out in the crowd. So I think what we're going to talk about today as well is a lot of brands in general kind of all look a little bit the same. So our goal is to really maximize their potential and help them stand out and, you know, shout about what they do.
It's an interesting kind of problem that we're exploring, isn't it? Because I think what you say is probably true. I think a lot of brands do end up, they all kind of fly this flag going, hey, we're different to everyone else. Yeah. And then when you look at it, you kind of go, but it does all seem very kind of identikit. How have we ended up here then? Why have we ended up at this situation where there's just so many businesses, so many brands that kind of are just saying the same sort of stuff?
I think we talked a little bit about law firms just before jumping on this. And we've just done a rebrand for a law firm. And the key thing for them was to look at all the other law firms kind of out there, and when you actually dig into it, they've all kind of got serif fonts. They're all blue.
Yeah.
You've probably seen a lot of blue law logos in your life, kind of thing. And I think it's very comfortable to want to stay in the safety net, and you look at other law firms and you go, well, it's working for them, so it'll work for me. But what they're not actually seeing is they're just going to blend in with a kind of, you know, there's that term AI slop, almost like brand slop a little bit. Yeah. But you're just kind of blending in with everyone else, not really being distinct on your own, and all your kind of key messaging and key values are just being drowned out.
I find this really interesting because obviously where I get involved with businesses when they're kind of thinking about podcasting as part of their marketing mix means they're probably a certain journey in terms of wanting to put their voice out there and stuff like that. But often they're very nervous about kind of like, we have to now show who our personality is something that's quite almost unnatural for a lot of brands, and it moves them into this really unsafe space. You talked about the safe space, so this is the kind of unsafe space of now we've really got to put ourselves out there, and sometimes they just kind of go back into that little shell and go, we'll put that off for a little bit. We'll come back to that later. Because it is quite scary in this day and age, isn't it? When we talk about brand, it's not just colours and it's not just fonts. It is personality. It's who you are. What do you stand for? What are your values?
Yes.
Yeah, do you give a toss about?
Yeah.
And that is unusual compared to 5 years, 10 years, 15 years ago, there were so few businesses doing that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think of brand as like the logo, but like you say, it's way, way more than that. It's every single touch point you've got, how you talk to people, and how you just visualize yourself across different touch points, and then from that brand, you kind of go into connection. So we kind of do it as like three kind of core points. So you've got your logo as your sort of nucleus. Outside of that is your brand, and then you go into the connection point. But it can be scary for a brand to dip the toe in, but, you know, we talked just then about a recent law firm that we branded. So they're a cost law firm called Peak Costs, and we really wanted to make sure that they stood out against other law firms because before they were very blue, and they kind of work for law firms as well. So with the branding for them, for example, we were like, okay, how can we make you stand out but in the right way? So with it being cost law, we thought, right, well, why don't they look a little bit like a bank? That's probably a good thing, right? If you can look like a bank, you instantly get that connotation of like finance and law as well. So we did this really nice sort of brand job where we brought in some more greens, but with little hints of blue, so that you still have that kind of warmth of it being a law field, but those connotations with a bank and it being related to cost. So, and it's really worked for them. Now they go to all the events and their logo at all these law events is the one that stands out the most. And every brand touch point they do as well, like you made sure they've got that consistency of profit over, they say like people first, profit later, things like that. And it's just made this whole brand journey and tone of voice and every touch point they go to now just consistent.
Do you kind of feel that you can do this with anyone? And what I mean by that is, if a brand that's maybe a little bit stuffy turns around and goes, hey, we want to be really cool now, can you make us look cool?
Yeah.
But how ingrained in every element of that business does it need to be? Can it just be how it looks, or does it need to be instilled from kind of like, you know, bottom up, top down?
I think bottom up, top down. And I can give a really good example of this. So I'm going to show you on screen here a collection of water bottles, right?
I can confirm. So I'm looking at a collection of water bottles right here.
So these are all the big sort of water bottle brands, right? And they all kind of look the same, right?
Yep.
You've got the classic clear bottle. You've got blues and greens. Maybe the odd pop of red. But if I was to ask you which one you're going to pick up, which one would you pick up? Any idea?
I don't know, possibly Pellegrino?
Yeah, because it's probably the most different there. Yeah, is that probably what stands out to you? And then if I go to this next slide here, where I slap a can of Liquid Death in the middle, right? And which one are you going to go for now?
It's going to be the Liquid Death, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's pretty out there. It's pretty wild. It's literally metal, as you were saying just before. But you pick it up out of curiosity, and it is exactly the same product as everything else, but it's packaged differently in a can, so it's better for the environment, things like that. And the brand is so wild and out there that it just stands out, and you kind of gravitate towards it. Now, that brand released in 2019, and since then, it's now got 3% of overall market share of water across the world, over a bottle of water even, wow, across the world. So they've done something so bold and out there, and it's worked for them. So, but it's all about testing the water a little bit. Before they released the product, they did a sort of tester campaign where then that went viral. So then they knew there was an appetite for it, and then they've just doubled down on that ever since. So it's also an element of, like, if you want to really, really move into a wild direction, you can test the water a little bit first, see if that works for you, and then go for it. But of course, with all the branding projects we do at Anti-Gravity, we make sure we check in on all the sort of research touch points, make sure it resonates with an audience first, do all our brand research, and make sure that it's going to hit the right chord when it does when we do launch the brand.
Who else do you think kind of gets this right?
Well, for different reasons, I've got a few more examples.
I love this level of prep. No one's ever done this before. This is unheard of on the Marketing Showcase podcast.
We're in visuals, so we got to bring some visuals, right? So Airbnb is another great one, obviously, when that launched. It's, again, about, if you think about sort of booking.com or any sort of travel website, you know, you don't think of pink, do you, right, as a colour that that's used? Probably not. Airbnb have really done the due diligence to own that colour. Yeah. They looked at sort of other rental things at the time and just thought, how can we stand out? And they went for that pink, and they've owned that now, so much so that it's kind of synonymous with the travel space. So, again, when you put their logo against everyone else's, it stands out, right? But also, the reason that they've kind of gone for the pink as well is to try and reframe themselves as a place of belonging, not booking. That's like one of the core messages they say. So on the website, they've got belong anywhere. So it's about, they've also done a tone of voice shift away from just travel to, you know, a stay location. Duolingo is another great one, obviously, as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
The crazy sort of owl, again, in the sort of language learning sort of world. I mean, if you think of a green owl, you're going to think of Duolingo. They own a character, and they've managed to turn that into such a mascot that just touches on every point of the brand that is now the logo, effectively. So there's just many different ways to kind of do these things and stand out, really.
Obviously, they're all fairly big brands, yes, that you've talked about there. If we bring it down to a level that maybe people that are listening to this podcast who might be kind of working in marketing departments for businesses all kinds of different sizes,
yeah,
do the same sort of things still apply? What advice have you got, really, for people who are maybe not at those big brands, yeah, but kind of thinking, you know, we still need to kind of find ourselves a little bit better in terms of our brand?
I think it's looking at, like, what you've currently got, and if it feels a little bit stagnant, you've kind of done the same things for years and years and years, and it's not really boosting you anywhere, it's the time to sort of test things, you know, try and do something a little bit bold, do something a little bit different, try that out, and you can do it in ways that, again, don't break your brand. But if you do need that radical shift, that's what you bring in. Some, you know, someone like Anti-Gravity to kind of come in and look at how we can kind of really maximize that and see the potential.
I'm not going to frame this question as whose branding do you think is rubbish, but do you have a wish list? Is there a brand out there that you think, I wish I could get hold of their branding?
Oh, that's, I mean, it's a it's a pipe dream one to say, but I think maybe I just want to do it for the challenge of it, is Jaguar. When that I mean, that's a bold. I know it's not a big sort of company. I mean, there's a lot of, like, the people we work with, there's a lot of, like, tech startups and obviously, like, law, financial clients. And what we love about them is they come in feeling a very stagnant and bored and sort of stuck in the layers. And we look at the market and we go, right, how can we really make you stand out? I think if the product's interesting, that really kind of gravitates me towards it. But I think, as bold as it sounds, yeah, when I saw the whole thing go wrong with Jaguar, I thought to myself, and I think a lot of people probably did, thought I'd like to give that a crack, see what we could do.
Why do you think they got it so wrong with that? Because the reaction to that was pretty universally negative, wasn't it?
I think it started from the research, to be honest. I think when they brought in the brand strategy early, they thought they could try and maximize the sort of younger audience and really dig into that. And it is bold. It is definitely different. But they've not taken that user research into account. For example, we talk about, like, the Pete Costas example. We still made sure that the audience was the key part. That's still a key focal point of all the research. Whereas I think Jaguar were trying to move into a different audience. And whilst doing that, completely alienating their existing one, which then just meant that not only did the new audience not want it, but the old audience didn't want it either. So then they were kind of at a loss, really.
I tell you what I took from that was, like, even sometimes the big boys get this wrong.
Yes.
And it's like, you don't need to completely beat yourself up. If you do something and it doesn't quite land in the way that you thought it would,
yeah.
Even if you've done your research and you've done your due diligence and you're pretty certain that it's the right way to go, sometimes things just don't land.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not the only one that kind of does that. So that was the positive that I took from the whole Jaguar thing. And I could talk for the rest of the day very happily. We're going to have to wrap it up. If anyone wants to kind of connect with you and stay in touch with your work, what's the best way for them to do that?
Just search for Studio Antigravity online. We're based in Manchester and you can find us on Instagram, LinkedIn, the usual spaces.
That's awesome. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. Thank you for joining us. Please check the feed for loads more content from Marketing Showcase events. You can find out more about Marketing Showcase at mktgshowcase.co.uk. There's details about the upcoming events on there, along with a ton of useful blogs, details about exhibitors, links to social channels, and more. I run my own business, by the way, Sound Media, helping brands to incorporate podcasting into their marketing output. If you'd like to get to know me a little bit better, LinkedIn is the place for that. Search for James Marriott and look for the headphones emoji. That's me. We'll be back soon with more insights from Marketing Showcase. See you then.